Are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Friday, January 21st. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher, and we are brought to you by No House Advantage. 11 games on the docket here for Friday. At least I missed the 13-gamer on Wednesday. Unfortunately, I also missed the deeper dive yesterday, but I did get bits and pieces. If you haven't done it yet, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. Still cold, but good.
Yeah, you and me both. Not that it's all that great in North Carolina for me right now. We are in the midst of rain / snow / ice. So that means that it is cold for one of the few times that it is cold at my house. Normally, I am at my parents' house, at which point I check the weather and it is precisely feels like zero right now, which makes me hate everything in the world more so than I normally do. But whatever. It's fine. It's not as cold as my golf lineups are right now.
Yeah, those aren't great for me either.
I believe I saw your screenshot yesterday that looked pretty similar to mine in that lots of ROM, not as much Cantlay.
Yeah.
We are in the, it was very nice to see that Patrick Cantlay was at the top of the tournament. So great start so far. We have a ton to talk about from an NBA perspective. So I think we probably just need to dive in right now. How did you? Oh, actually, I did want to ask this. Did you play last night's slate?
No.
Okay. Did you try?
No.
Okay. Just checking. I didn't know if that was just like a, oh, I played, but because I wanted to know how ridiculous it ended up being once LeVert was also ruled out, but you don't really have any firepower for that one anyway. So
no, I didn't play because I didn't want to spend 3 more hours sitting in the cold in my apartment. So I just.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'll finish the show.
Well, start rubbing some sticks together. We've got 11 games to get through, and we're kicking it off with a real great one. Oklahoma City taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets are 9.5-point favorites at home, 221 total. It's basically business as usual for OKC. We're getting, let me just get back down to it here. Kenrich Williams is off the injury report. We've got a Q tag on Derek Favors, which probably doesn't matter all that much. Tons of ownership coming to Josh Giddey on FanDuel, which is something that I think we could just put in the show notes at this point. Aaron Wiggins is getting a little bit of love on DK at 3,500. Lou Dort, the only other guy over 10% owned. Normally, we look at these Charlotte matchups and think, okay, a couple of these guys are going to pop a little bit more. That doesn't seem to be the case when it's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, kind of two extremes working against each other. Kenrich Williams coming back, it's not a huge deal, but I think it does matter a little bit in the sense that we had sort of been able to pick at, you know, taking shots at like Trey Mann for cheap or Aaron Wiggins, you know, still getting some ownership if he's in the starting lineup. Williams does potentially kind of just take minutes from the fringe value that we could look to. But I think the main pieces here are, you know, SGA, Giddey, Dort, as usual. Really good matchup for these guys, assuming the game's competitive. You know, SGA should play 35, 36 minutes. Giddey should play low 30s. Dort plays low to mid 30s. Like, they all look fine. But on an 11-game slate, I don't think they really stand out. The Aaron Wiggins ownership, like, I get it until better value opens up. But it's also not a spot that I'm, like, in love with or anything.
Just out of curiosity, are you on your microphone right now?
It's a good question. Yes.
Okay. Maybe it's just my AirPods. Or the fact that I'm somewhere that I'm not normally. Anyway, I don't think that I have anything else to really add here for Oklahoma City. I mean, we know what we're doing here. We know the guys that are just generally playable. I understand the Wiggins value, but the less time we spend talking about Oklahoma City, I think the better our lives would be just in general.
Yeah. If they just like got relegated, that would be fine.
It would be so great. Call up the Raptors G League team or something. Hornets, on the other hand,
bench. It's not like they get to play in actual games.
That's a good point. Yeah, they could just, if you have 15 guys on the roster, they have a full other 8 guys that can play at the rate that they're going. For the Hornets, we've got Kelly Oubre back now. We do have a questionable tag, I believe, on PJ Washington, but let me get back to where I was to make sure that I'm looking at that correctly. Yes, Q tag on PJ Washington, everybody else available. So they go from their 7-man rotation back to 8 or 8-9, whatever tiny ass rotation the Hornets tend to use. Gordon Hayward, 12% owned across both sites. LaMelo Ball, double digits across both sites, slightly better on FanDuel. Mason Plumlee is 11% owned on DK at 4,200. His minutes have sort of stabilized in this 26 range. Not a lot of love going to Bridges or Rozier. How are you handling the Hornets here, where I think we just have a lot of, basically everybody that generally plays kind of looks okay-ish?
Yeah, that's how I see it as well. Like Oubre coming back does, you know, he came back. Am I looking at the wrong day? I am looking at the wrong day.
Probably.
Yeah, Oubre coming back, you know, does make the Hornets in general not as appealing, because instead of expecting 40 minutes frequently from, you know, Bridges and Rozier and Hayward, you're going to lose some of those minutes. Rozier played 41 last game, but Bridges only played 34. So it does hurt a little bit, but you can still take shots at those guys in tournaments. They are priced up somewhat. LaMelo at 8,600 on DraftKings, like, he basically just burns me every time I play him at this point, but it's also really hard not to keep going back. That's a really cheap price tag for a 1.3 fantasy point per minute guy that is likely to play 32 to 34 minutes if he can stay out of foul trouble.
And that's playing the Thunder, which feels like a slightly easier matchup than most will normally be.
Right. I'm kind of curious what they do at center if PJ Washington's in, because Washington's just basically been the backup to Mason Plumlee, like you said, but they have played some bigger teams too. This seems like a spot where maybe you get back to like the, you know, 24-24 split, something like that. If PJ Washington's in, I don't want to go too crazy, but 3,800 for him, if he plays 20 minutes, he can get there. If he plays 24 or 25 for any reason, he's really, really good.
Yeah, I just, what's the if nowadays? Like, I agree with you. I think he's really, 3,800, like, you don't really need much out of him to pop at that point, especially having the power forward center eligibility. Are they going to just trade him?
It's really,
like, if the best that you could hope for is that PJ Washington is the backup to Mason Plumlee, cash him into the team that thinks there's some value there, or just play him. I don't really know what the goal is. Or just play him more at the four too. I don't.
Yeah.
Or does he just suck? Is it? Are we just overrating him?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I don't know. The thing that
I can't really figure out what their deal is.
The thing that makes him just interesting to me today, I mean, obviously the fact that he's 3,800, but if you go back and like look at his recent games where he didn't play a lot, playing against Boston, so reasonable spot to think that Plumlee's going to play more. The Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, it's reasonable to think Plumlee plays more. Orlando, he played 19 minutes. Philly, he played 19 minutes. OKC doesn't have a center, you know, so I think there's a chance that you just get a little bit more PJ Washington here.
I just, like, he's basically like a completely uninteresting guy, but neutral true shooting this year, 56%. He's shooting 39% from three. He can't make a shot at the rim, but if you want to just play Mason Plumlee, then let him just shoot threes. He shoots 70% from the line. It's not a problem. He's a perfectly acceptable rebounder. He blocks a ton of shots. He's 23 years old. Just play him. Why are you, what is the deal here? 3,800. He's going to win somebody a slate at this price in the next week or two.
Yeah, agreed. Because, like, even in his normal role, he can be okay. And if anything happens, whether the rotation's different or Plumlee gets in foul trouble or whatever, it doesn't take much for him to just be a really good player.
No, like, it might not matter. He's going to need the extra minutes probably on when it's an 11-game slate, sure. You're going to need the time. If this is a 5-game slate, like, PJ Washington can be a guy that becomes a necessity in his backup run to Mason Plumlee in 22 minutes. Today, it's going to be a little bit harder to do it in the short time, but he's a guy that we got to keep an eye on, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, even like right now, for example, Aaron Wiggins getting 18% ownership on the other side of this game. Washington getting, I mean, he's questionable, so it probably screwed up, but right now, 1%.
Yeah.
I don't really think there should be a gap between those two.
No. No. In terms of trying to win a GPP, like, I think I'm going to have a better chance going to PJ Washington and being there on the day where it becomes interesting, because you'd like to think he's just like a Mason Plumlee injury away, but they could also just still not play him and go to like Nick Richards for 14 minutes and really twist the knife. Anyway, either trade him or play him. Charlotte, wake up. Come on, Michael Jordan. What are you, asleep at the wheel? Anything else for Charlotte?
Nope.
All righty. Keeping it moving to the Los Angeles Lakers, 5.5-point favorites. In Orlando, 221 total, and the Lakers are fully healthy for the guys that have been healthy. We have LeBron probable, no AD, no Kendrick Nunn. Otherwise, this is commonplace. LeBron is 27% owned on FanDuel at 11K. Feels a skosh high for this 11-gamer. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but there are a couple other pay-up options that I would prefer to get to over LeBron James. We'll see what that ownership looks like. We've got LeBron 15% owned on DraftKings. Russ down to 7,200. Let's just start here. If I told you that Russell Westbrook was 7,200 today, let's just say 6 months ago, what would you assume happened? You would assume he's on like a minutes limit, right?
Yeah, I would just assume he was hurt.
I didn't even think it was possible for him to be 7,200 this season. That's insane. 9K on DraftKings makes him functionally unplayable. Dwight Howard pulling 10% ownership on DK at 3,500. No thank you, I guess. What are you doing with the Lakers here against Orlando? They just look gross.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's the only guy that really stands out. You know, it's a good matchup. He's a really, really good points per minute guy. Obviously, that goes without saying. Gets a step up without Anthony Davis. You know, he's been really, really good. Plays a lot of minutes. Like, I have no issue getting there. DraftKings did take away his point guard eligibility, so he's now a small forward. Over the course of this week, he has gone from being a center to a point guard / small forward to a small forward. Don't know how LeBron doesn't have multi-position eligibility out of everyone, but
he's the first guy that's ever had every position in his career.
I don't know if he's been a shooting guard on DraftKings.
That's a good point.
But definitely four or five. Good. Westbrook's really cheap, like you said, but his playing time has been a concern too. It's the Lakers are just so weird because like Westbrook's been really bad. He's obviously a horrible fit on that team, but then they're just doing so much. They're giving minutes to so many guys that like they don't need to give minutes to or shouldn't give minutes to. But he's only played more than 28 minutes once in his last five games. I think that's somewhat concerning. FanDuel, you can still get there. DraftKings, like you said, it's more difficult. The rest of the pieces aren't that interesting. I could see taking some shots at $3,500 Howard. He only played like 13 minutes last game, but he seems like he's starting now. I know Kurt Rambis said that they needed to use Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan more. DeAndre Jordan hasn't made it into the rotation, but Howard's been starting. He's 3,500. If he plays 20 to 22 minutes, he'll probably do well.
If you think this team sucks now, wait until they fire Frank Vogel and bring in Kurt Rambis, because they are going to be dog shit when that happens, because that man should not be behind the helm here. It's going to end up having Kurt Rambis's wife coach the team. It's going to be brutal. I think the Lakers look terrible today, and it's really surprising to me. Well, I mean, I guess it's not surprising, but like, you know, you'd think something would pop. I don't need 10% owned Dwight Howard at this point, unless we're going revenge narrative back to Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, $5,300 Malik Monk in tournaments is sort of interesting, just because the upside's there. But he's also been relegated to the bench so that they can play Trevor Ariza and Dwight Howard. So I don't really know what to make of that.
Yeah, Curtis McMillan mentioning that I said it was a bad trade on Twitter. That wasn't a stance that like I was alone on. I think everybody on the planet knew it was garbage at the time, but you never know. The people that actually thought it was going to be good for the Lakers, sorry, didn't work out quite there for you.
Yeah, it's such a bad fit.
If they're going to continue to sit him during crunch time of close games, it's going to be real fun to watch. Really fun to watch. Sign me up for all of that. I hate Russ. Orlando. I'm really tired of rostering Orlando Magic players, especially because I feel like somebody's always just out and they never have the same rotation 2 days in a row. Wendell Carter Jr. is probable for this one. He's been out for a while. No Isaac, no Fultz, no Hampton, which is the different piece for this one. No MCW, no Etuan Moore. Terrence Ross is off the injury report. So we've got Cole Anthony, close to 20% owned across both sites. Completely agree with that. We've got Jalen Suggs, 26% owned on DraftKings. So I don't know if you've got a couple extra DraftKings accounts that are pushing that number up. Franz Wagner looks solid on DK at 5,300. I like Mo Bamba quite a bit today at 5,400. So I'm curious your thoughts on Orlando, because this is a pace-up spot against a bad Lakers defense.
Yeah, I think they actually look pretty good here. Wendell Carter coming back does sort of throw a wrench in things, because he, you know, he rebounds well. He isn't a super high usage guy, but he's not a low usage guy either. Curious to see what the starting lineup ends up being. Does Jalen Suggs go back to the bench? Does Gary Harris go to the bench? I'm not sure the answer to that, but we know that they've been playing him alongside Bamba, or starting him alongside Bamba rather. Maybe in his first game back, Carter comes off the bench and none of this matters. But I am curious what the starting lineup is. If Suggs stays in the starting lineup, I think he looks very good at 4,800. If he comes off the bench, there's still a ceiling there, but I start to become concerned just because Orlando is running a pretty deep rotation. They have a lot of guys, and so it makes it tough. Like if they move Suggs back to the bench, you can't assume that they're just prioritizing his minutes because they'd start him if they were. So it makes him pretty risky. But if he starts, I think he looks really good at that price. Bamba at 5,400 still looks good. You know, Carter coming back isn't great for him, but he's still really cheap, still likely to give you 28 to 30 minutes. Cole Anthony's price tag is cheap. He's another one. We had talked about it before the Sixers game the other day. He's still a really high upside player. With the number of guys that Orlando has in their rotation, I think you're going to end up around like 32 minutes a lot more often than 36, which kind of sucks, but the price tag is also dropping, so it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, I put him in for 32 just to be safe, and he still looks pretty good. And at the very least, there's the possibility that he could fall into more, and those are always really the stances that I like to take. So, and by the way, yeah, LeVert is terrible. If you want to like win basketball games. But chat, you can handle that one.
I just can't. I'm mostly just curious if the good athlete part was like, if he's saying like athleticism isn't a knock on Russ either, but I don't know if he was just talking about LeVert and not comparing him to Russ.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, he's still, LeVert's still not very good. I don't care that he smashes in DFS. That's a completely different discussion point altogether. I mean, anybody can smash depending on what your salary is. You accidentally priced Caris LeVert at 4K. Like, he's going to smash, and he doesn't even have to play all that well. Unfortunately, we're going to have to roster a bunch of Orlando today. That's not really fun. Does the 26% ownership make sense to you for Suggs?
If he starts.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he played 33 minutes last game. He's a 25% usage guy. He's not efficient, but that's a lot of usage for that price tag.
Anything else you want to touch on for the Orlando Magic?
Franz Wagner's cheap as well.
Yeah.
They just have a bunch of guys that look pretty good.
All righty. Well, schedule for the rest of the day coming up at 11 a.m. So immediately after this show, on the contrary, NFL breakdown. We've got a 12:30 p.m. Yahoo NFL show. We've got the NHL strategy show at 2. We've got the NFL strategy show at 3. We've got a Prize Picks NFL show at 4. Adam will then be back at 4:45 for the deeper dive, leading in to Live Before Lock at 6 p.m. NBA player projections are free. NHL player projections are free. And MMA pro plays are free today. A lot of good free content here at awesomeo.com. We keep it moving on to the other LA team. Both teams playing on the East Coast today, which is really weird. Maybe something's going on at Staples Center. LA Clippers, 8-point dogs in Philadelphia. Questionable tag on Marcus Morris. Questionable tag on Nick Batum. We saw Luke Kennard make his way back to the team their last time out. The highest owned guy on the Clippers right now on either FanDuel or DraftKings is $4,200 Zubats on FanDuel at 8%. If everybody's in, if Marcus Morris and Batum are in, do you see anything of value here for the Clippers?
I mean, you can still take shots at Morris, Jackson, Zubats, but you have to keep in mind that Morris has a really big impact because he takes usage away from Reggie Jackson, but he also makes it so Zubats' minutes aren't as secure. So they just become a lot riskier. But even if you're expecting like 24 minutes from Zubats at 4,600, it's fine, but he'd look a lot better if Morris is out.
Yeah. All right, so let's say Batum and Morris are out. What do you want to do?
I think $6,100 Jackson looks good again. You know, obviously not expecting 50-plus fantasy points from him, but you're talking about a 30-plus percent usage rate and potentially playing, you know, a few more minutes if those guys are out. Makes him look good at $6,100. Zubat's minutes look better if Morris is out. Just, you know, less chance of them going small to close the game. Not that I guess it's super likely against Embiid anyway, but helps to solidify those minutes too. So I like getting to both of those guys. Coffee should play a lot, but his price has come up a bit. Terrence Mann at 4,500 becomes more appealing. Not a high usage guy, but you know, does rebound pretty well.
I just hate this Clippers team right now.
Yeah.
They're a mess. They're an absolute mess.
Reggie Jackson's where I get to the most.
Yeah, I'm with you there. 6,100 on DK, 5,700 on FanDuel. He's the guy that popped up the most during my sims. If you take Marcus Morris off the floor, there's even more usage to go around for Reggie Jackson. Those injuries will matter and will certainly open up some minutes potentially at the 4 and 5. But for right now, at the very least, this game starts at 7. We will have this information before it tips off. So nothing too crazy. Don't need to dig into anything like that too deep. On the Philly side, questionable tag on Seth Curry. Otherwise, I think this is pretty much what it's been. No Thibault, no Danny Green, no Shake Milton. We've got double digits in ownership, only going to $6,900 Tobias Harris, which I think you and I are both going to be fine with. We've got 11% ownership going to $4,100 Furkan Korkmaz, who's shooting guard, small forward eligible. Very minimal ownership going to anyone else, whether that's 11K Embiid on DK or my personal favorite, Tyrese Maxey. Floor is yours on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get to Embiid, great. 11K is a pretty cheap price tag. Obviously, he's having a fantastic season. He's playing really, really well recently. He looked like he was going to be a must-have last time out until Jokic beat his like 70 fantasy points by 20. But it's always tough because of the opportunity cost at center and all of that, especially on a slate of this size. You also, you have Jokic playing, you have just a lot of good center options, but Embiid does look good. Probably a little bit underpriced. Harris, 6,900 on DraftKings looks pretty good. I think Maxey is fine.
All righty.
Are you still
alive? Chat's on one now.
I saw your
Russ struggles with his jump shot. Otherwise, he's still elite. That's a take.
He does struggle with his
jump shot. LeVert's a top 40 player in the world. He does. Yeah, that is a true statement. LeVert, a top 40 player in the world, might be one of the worst takes we've ever had in chat. That's incredible. 28th in offensive Raptor, and somehow then he's 40th in the league. Going to go out on a limb and say that Caris LeVert's bad defense isn't going to get you there. Whoo, boy, that's bad. Bad, everybody. Oh, God. I don't have anything else for Philadelphia. 28th in offensive Raptor, and this guy is then 40th. What is he in defensive Raptor, Gene? Do we care about the other side of the ball here? Also, 28th in offensive Raptor is comical. Anyway, let's move it on to a game that I thought I would want to ignore, and unfortunately, you can't do it. Miami, 1-point dogs in Atlanta, 217 total. Josh does not admit that he doesn't watch most games. I watch an absolute ton of basketball. Don't know where we're going there. If you want to say that I don't watch baseball, that's true because I would rather stick pins in my eyes. Given the fact that Miami is a 1-point dog, they have no Kyle Lowry. They have no Tyler Hero. Both of those things are appealing for the rest of this team, unfortunately. We've got 21% ownership going to Jimmy Butler on FanDuel at 8,800, just 5 on DK. Bam Adebayo's in double digits on DraftKings. Gabe Vincent, PJ Tucker. I think Max Strus is getting underrepresented at 4,600, only 7% owned. Adam, what do we do with Miami with no Lowry, no Hero?
They look good. Bam at 7,500 looks like a really solid option. He's certainly one of the guys where, when you talk about opportunity costs at center and why it might be difficult to prioritize somebody like Joel Embiid, a $7,500 Bam Adebayo certainly is one of those reasons. He should play low to mid 30s in minutes. He's a really good point per minute guy. Butler at 9,400, assuming he decides to not get ejected tonight, still looks pretty good. he was really popular last time out, burned a lot of people, but I think going right back to him makes some sense. And then you have the cheap guys. I mean, Vincent starting, again, most likely. 4,800 looks pretty good. 4,600 for Strus off the bench, likely to play around 30 minutes or so. Caleb Martin at 4,400 certainly has upside, but just a reminder to anyone that is going to look at what he did last game and go back to him. He did start the second half in place of Butler. That's not happening again. Well, hopefully.
That ejection was great. Like, I love that Butler basically just told him to give him the tea.
Yeah.
With some extra words involved in that sentence too, but it's incredible. Incredible. Yeah, I 4,600 for Strus is the guy that stands out most to me. Am I missing something here, or should we be expecting him to play 30 minutes today?
So, like, it's always risky because, well, like, I'm assuming he's going to come off the bench again, and so you can never guarantee those minutes, but typically he's getting them. I mean, the the way he doesn't play 30 minutes is like if Duncan Robinson closes, because even last game, like I thought Hero being out would pretty much lock Robinson into more minutes. And then if you told me Butler gets ejected, I just think Robinson plays a ton. Robinson still only played 23 minutes. Strus was in the closing lineup. Caleb Martin was in the closing lineup. I think to some extent it's a hot hand situation. Like if Strus is playing poorly and Martin's playing well, Martin can clearly close over him. Robinson can close over him if he's making shots. So I don't think 30 minutes is guaranteed, but I think it's certainly on the table.
It's tricky. Yeah, I gave him 30. Maybe I have to walk that back a little bit. I love the positional designation for sure in this spot. Man, what does the Heat do with Duncan Robinson? Because this dude's not playing even with these guys out, and he's about to make a lot of money over the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's really weird that he's not playing more.
When I saw Hero was out for this last one, I was like, oh, I guess Duncan Robinson played like 32 minutes. Nope, just Duncan Robinson's playing 23, 18, 17, and 18 over the past three. Just not getting out there. Tough spot for Miami right now. Let's move it on over to the Atlanta Hawks. This one's kind of blurry. I don't know how much we can really handle it. Bogdanovich still out, but Q tag on Capella, Q tag on Gallo, Q tag on Gorgeous Dong. No ownership coming on to these guys from FanDuel. 8% going to Hunter, but a lot of those Q tags matter. Is this something we could even dig into? Do you see any good DraftKings plays one way or the other if these guys are in, out, et cetera? I mean, like if they're all out, clearly we're opening up like 100 minutes, but what do we do with Atlanta right now, or do we just have to wait?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of just have to wait. If Capella is out, then I think you can go right back to Okongwu. Had another good game last time out. He's, other than the one game where he only played 24 minutes, he's been getting a ton of run when he starts. Played 34 minutes last game. I think you can go right back there. But obviously, if Capella's back, you lose that. Gallinari, if he's out, I think the biggest difference is that it probably even solidifies Okongwu's minutes a little bit more, because I think that you're mostly getting like a three-man power forward slash center rotation with Okongwu, Collins, and Gallo. If Gallo's out, I think it just makes it like less likely that you get a John Collins at center closing lineup and Okongwu doesn't close. I don't necessarily know that it opens the door for anything extra value-wise, though.
We're going to need more information for sure. Can we do anything with 10K FanDuel price, 10.3 on DraftKings, Trae Young? Like, does any of this information actually matter for him?
I don't think it matters for him. He's just, a high upside, relatively low probability play, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, right now on DraftKings, we have him projected for 2% ownership, 5% chance of being in the optimal lineup. So underowned, but also not particularly likely to get you there.
Infrequent, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled for the news here, because we can see a lot of swings. I mean, Capella being out wouldn't be all that surprising. We're pretty used to that at this point. But, if Gallo gets ruled out, we don't have Reddish any longer. That is going to open up something on the wing. More often than not, it's just going to go to something that's awful. But you never know. Minutes are minutes. On to Portland. God, this Portland team, man, they are snake bit this year. I'm really curious to see what happens with these guys and if they send anybody out during the deadline. No Norm Powell, no Larry Nance, no Dame, clearly. Q tag on Nas Little. Dennis Smith Jr. is probable. Cody Zeller also out. No one is getting ownership here for Portland. The highest owned guy in this game is Nurk on FanDuel at 5.6%. The next highest rate of anybody here, 2.9 for Robert Covington. Should we be paying a little bit more attention to Portland just because of their lack of ownership and the amount of minutes they have? Or is this just because a matchup with Boston is generally awful from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, I mean, the matchup's not super appealing, but I think we should be paying attention to at least a couple of pieces here if they're going to be low owned. One being Nurkic, dealt with some foul trouble last game, only played 27 minutes, but still has a path to getting mid-30s if he avoids foul trouble. We know he's a very, very good point-per-minute guy. But also CJ McCollum, his salary is falling. He played about 28 minutes in his first game back. He played 32.5 minutes last game. I wouldn't be surprised if he just goes out there and gets, his full run or close to it tonight and gets you like 36 minutes or something. Him playing without Dame is very, very good. And very appealing at low ownership at that price tag in tournaments, I think.
Yeah, I gave him 34 minutes, 1.1 FanDuel points per minute in this spot, 7,700 getting point guard, shooting guard. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. The only reason he doesn't look better is because it's a matchup against Boston, and it's about as bad as it's going to get. Like, they can throw wing defender after wing defender after wing defender at him if you really want to try to take CJ out. But the upside, the ceiling price for him here with no Dame, very appealing to me. The rest of it is just like, I don't mind getting the single shots of Portland. I understand why they're not pulling any ownership.
Yeah, like, they're a team where if you told me any of these guys were really popular, I would just say, okay, cool, I'll find somewhere else. Nothing stands out. But from an upside standpoint at low ownership, I do think that particularly Nurkic and McCollum are really interesting.
Yeah. What opens up if Little sits? Nothing? Tony Snell type bullshit?
Yeah. okay. Yeah, I mean, like, Covington's going to play a lot one way or the other. Macklemore could play a little bit more. Ellaby's back. I don't think it matters a whole lot for DFS.
Okay. That's really crazy to me that a guy that normally plays 30 minutes can leave the rotation and it basically won't change the entire outlook of the team. That's really rare. And I don't think it does. Like, everybody that is going to play functional minutes already has the minutes. Everybody that doesn't stinks from a fantasy perspective, unless, like, they're not going to give Dennis Smith more minutes for it. So that's the only guy that would be valuable for it.
Right. Like, Macklemore is 3,800. He probably gets into, like, the mid to upper 20s.
But it becomes a value play that you can roster.
Right. Exactly. It's still not one that it, like, I'm not sitting here waiting and saying, like, oh man, if Ben Macklemore opens up, that would be great.
Yeah, it's going to change the day on an 11 game slate. I got nothing else for Portland.
Not me neither.
All righty. To Boston we go. And it's looking like Boston's going to be tough to talk about today. Well, tough to talk about in that they're healthy and functional. You tag on Marcus Smart, but he's coming back from the health and safety protocols. I have him in for right now. Robert Williams was out for the birth of his child. I have him in. And then Aaron Nesmith is questionable. I don't think that anybody actually cares about that. So, highest owned guy in this game for Boston on either FanDuel or DraftKings is 10% owned Al Horford, 5,500 on FanDuel, power forward center. Next highest guy in any of this is Jason Tatum at 4.5%. Now, I do have a little bit more interest in these Boston guys in comparison to where we were for Portland. If there's not ownership here, like, Tatum's price is down into the mid-9s now. I think that's totally reasonable for a ceiling-type game for him. Jaylen Brown is now finally into the mid-8s. I think that's reasonable for him at no ownership. I will happily go to a $7,200 Time Lord on FanDuel where he also has power forward eligibility projected for 0.7% ownership right now. Sign me up for that. And I understand the Horford ownership on FanDuel. I'm a little bit more interested in Boston for tournaments than it seems like the public is.
Yeah, I kind of just feel similarly about them as I did the Nurkic and McCollum pieces. The matchup obviously is better for Boston, but where, like, Tatum and Brown are priced, I think they're correctly priced, if not slightly overpriced, but we know that they have a really high ceiling. In any given game, one of them can go off and the other one takes a back seat, even though on average they're going to cut into each other. So getting to them at like 2% ownership is fine. Anytime Robert Williams is low owned, he's somewhat appealing just because, for one, he's been playing more minutes prior to his absence. And for two, you get a lot of volatility because of the defensive stat upside. So, like, any of those guys look good as long as they're low owned. Horford's salary is reasonable. If Time Lord is back, I think Horford's playing time becomes questionable. Like, there's a good chance he's getting mid-20s in minutes again, which isn't great.
It's a weird team, man. We're having this chat. So I was in Discord before I was taking my flight on Tuesday, talking about Tatum and Brown and, like, the changes you could possibly make here for this Boston team. They've been really, really good when Tatum and Brown have been on the floor this year. What can Boston do to improve? I know this is like a generic question. Like, is Robert Williams their center of the future? Do they need, like, is it just shooting? Like what is stopping this team from being really good? Because I feel like they have really good players.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I enjoy talking Boston Celtics basketball because for some reason people hate them, even though they've got like a bunch of really good young dudes. I don't know. I don't get it. Go Tatum, go Brown. Anything else for Boston?
No, that's it. Like, if Smart's out again, Schroeder should play a lot, but his salary's come up too.
All righty. Let's talk a little bit about the presenting sponsor of this show. That would be No House Advantage. You guys can use the promo code AWESOMO to get up to a $25 deposit bonus. Can't beat that. Everybody likes extra money. There are over 500 player props offered. We have on AWESOMO.com free No House Advantage projections and the optimal lineup tool. You don't even have to do any work. Just sign up, use that promo code. We will provide you with all of the goods. I don't know why you would want to pass on something like that. So mostly you're ranking player props with a confidence interval. So your favorite one could be worth 10. Your second favorite would be 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all the way down the line. It's 100% peer-to-peer, so you don't have anything to worry about from that regard. You're not trying to beat the house in this case. They've got the $2,000 slam dunk going off today. I'm going to hit Adam with a prop or two if I could actually get this to load. Not No House Advantage's fault. It is the fault of the internet in these parts. Let's see. Who's going to be the most interesting guy to take a look at for today? Like over under 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists for Jimmy Butler.
Seems like an over.
Yeah, it does, right? Like,
yeah, I think it's over
quite a bit.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued by it. How about? Let's see. There should be another good one. This one could. Oh, that's not nearly as high as I thought it would be. Chris Boucher. We can give you 8.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, or 13.5 points plus rebounds. Do any of those sound good to you?
All of them.
Alrighty, I agree. We're on the same page there. Let me hit you with one more.
Even if Trent's back, I think the over looks good. And if Trent's out, then
Daniel Gafford. This one's the tricky one. 6.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 10.5 points plus rebounds. Feels like you just want to snap take the under and hope that like it doesn't break well for Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, I mean he's barely playing at this point.
I know. As long as he gets on the floor, things should be good.
What were the numbers?
That's a good question. 6.5 points, 4.5 rebounds.
Yeah, I like the under.
All righty. We are on the same page there. Make sure you guys are checking out No House Advantage. Promo code AWESOMO. We're on to game number 6, the Chicago Bulls. 8.5 point dogs in Milwaukee. So Chicago is like somehow getting guys back, but also slowly but surely losing more and more of them. So we did get the boss man back. Alex Caruso is on the floor again for Chicago, but we have no Zach LaVine. We have no Lonzo Ball for a pretty extended amount of time. No Javante Green, no Derek Jones, clearly no Patrick Williams. DeMar DeRozan, 22% owned on FanDuel at 8,400. We got Vooch at 14% ownership at 8,800. I'm interested still in Coby White here, 6,400 on FanDuel, 6,400 on DraftKings. Who's the best play on the Bulls today?
I think DeRozan and Vooch both look good. Vooch down to 8,800, DeRozan at 9,100. You can expect 34, 35 minutes from those guys. DeRozan gets a usage bump. Well, they both get a usage bump without LaVine. Without Lonzo, you get a little bit of an assist bump. I think they both look pretty good. Coby White looks fine. Dosunmu's been doing more playmaking. I still have a really hard time getting him at 6,100. But DeRozan and Vooch in particular, I like.
Yeah. How many minutes is Coby White playing today? Let's start there because I think that's the most important piece for me, at least.
I mean, it partly depends. Actually, it probably doesn't. I was going to say it partly depends on what Caruso's minutes limit is, but it probably doesn't. 34 to 36.
He gave Caruso 28 for today.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable. And I assume that White's playing, you know, 36, 34 to 36, somewhere in there.
4% ownership for Coby White at 36 minutes feels oddly low today.
Yeah, like I think
it's, like am I overprojecting him, do you think?
I think it's fine. I mean, it's a lot of minutes. He's reasonably priced. For the season, he's averaged 0.83 DraftKings points per minute. I don't think he's getting a usage bump playing with Vooch and DeRozan typically.
Yeah, I got him in for 24% usage right now. I can't remember how I landed. Like, I definitely pulled rates and stuff on the process show this morning, but I don't remember.
For the season, he's at 19.5.
How big the bump was. Like overall?
Yeah. Without LaVine on the floor, it's 21.4.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better then. I think Kobe White's the most interesting play for this game if he's going to continue to be 4% owned. I have no problems with the DeRozan ownership or the Vooch ownership. Are there any other sneaky plays here? Like, Dosunmu at 6,100 seems like it's going to be a tough sell. I don't really have much interest in going to Caruso unless we, like, he's starting. There's not much else here for me.
Yeah, if Troy Brown starts, so like last game, McKinney started the first half. Brown started the second half. Brown ended up playing 26 minutes. If Troy Brown starts at 3,400, you can roll the dice there. You still shouldn't have like a lot of confidence, though.
No, you should not. Off to Milwaukee.
Yep.
For the Bucks, they are healthy. Outside of Brook Lopez, they have everybody available. And this team is sneaky deep with like guards that look like the same person. We've got Giannis, 20% owned on FanDuel. We've got Bobby Portis, 20% owned on FanDuel. And then we've got Giannis at 11 on DK, nobody else in double digits. Do you see any priorities here for Milwaukee? It felt like it should have been a better spot, but either I think everybody's just sort of priced appropriately. And Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, Dante DiVincenzo, George Hill, Wes Matthews are all just not good fantasy performers and need more playing time.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I see it as well. I mean, Allen's really cheap. He's probably going to play around 26 minutes. If better value doesn't open up by lock, you can certainly take some shots there, but it's not super exciting or anything. DiVincenzo's playing like 18 to 20 minutes. Same kind of thing as Grayson Allen, really cheap. Potentially at some point starts playing more minutes. But the priorities for me, if there are any, it's still just Giannis and Portis, basically. You're getting like 32 minutes from Portis. He's 6,700. You know you have a really high ceiling there. Giannis with power forward eligibility at 11.7 looks good. This is another game where, I mean, it's a 10-point spread, so there is some blowout risk. And with Holiday at least somewhat being back, you maybe take a minute or two off of Giannis, but still relatively inexpensive for what he can do. But I don't see anything as like a true priority in the context of the slate.
Yep, I'm with you. Giannis, Portis, and that is basically it. It's crazy. So, sorry, Milwaukee. I'd like to go to you more, but I just don't see it. Anxious to see what Milwaukee does, if they're going to make a trade or something along those lines. And now we go to Toronto. This team is bonkers. So we've got a questionable tag on Gary Trent for what feels like the 55th straight game. Ken Birch is out with that broken nose. These guys are just playing massive minutes. They might as well just run a five-man rotation at this point. But I think it's kind of curious. Assuming Gary – let's start with one of the spots that I think is tougher to talk about. Assuming Gary Trent comes back, what are we going to see from a playing time perspective for Chris Boucher and Precious Achiuwa? Is that just a center split at that point?
I still think they play like mid-20s.
Okay. I gave him 24-24 for right now. The question then becomes – is Siakam still going to play 40 minutes today? I don't know how I don't project him for 40. Same for Van Vliet. They've done it for like five straight games.
Right. I still think you're getting 38 to 40 from those guys if Trent's back. I think Trent probably plays like 30-ish. Barnes and Ananobi probably play mid-30s instead of like 40. And then I think that you're getting, you know, Achiuwa and Boucher. Like, I don't think, if Trent's back, I don't think anybody on this team plays other than Siakam, Van Vliet, Barnes, Ananobi, Boucher, Trent, Achiuwa.
Agreed. We don't think Champagne plays?
No.
You think they go seven-man rotation tonight?
I think they, yeah.
They have for the past two. I think it's eight if Trent is back.
Why?
That's a great question. That's a great question. He's been playing even when, like, he was still playing when Trent was active. Like 8 to 10 minutes.
How long ago was that, though? Like, were they
beginning of January? I mean, January 5th, he played 11 minutes.
Yeah, last game was January 7th for Trent. I can't remember how long they've been just committed to this play multiple bigs all game thing.
Basically, since Trent's been out. That's why I'm just really curious. Like, if you start taking like slight playing time from everybody, take 2 minutes from Siakam to take him to 38, take 2 minutes from Van Vliet to take him to 38. you can then get Boucher to 26-28, Precious Achiuwa to 26-28. I don't know really what they're going to do if Trent comes back. If Trent is out, we know what they're going to do then. This becomes a very easy discussion, at which point we're basically playing every single person from Toronto, right?
Yeah, and actually, I do take it back. I guess I didn't realize that I still had minutes left over. Even with
they're not going to play 5-on-4, man.
What?
They're not going to play 5-on-4. They're not just going to not fill those. Whatever, we're going 232 today.
So I mean, like, you can give him 14 and still get the 38-40 for Siakam, Van Vliet, the 36 for Barnes and Anobi, 24 for Boucher, Trent. I mean, if they did kick him out of the rotation, then you're still talking about like 30 plus for Boucher.
Yeah. So I gave Champagne 8. I split Boucher and Achiuwa at 24-24 center. Now, I think that we could see a couple extra minutes there. I just don't know how to trim it. I gave Trent 34, though. I feel like if he's back, they're just stupid and play him a ton. Like, it is a left ankle injury, though. That's the only real issue. But I feel like if he's ready, he's ready. And if he's going to play 30, I don't think there's a huge difference between 30 and 36. Oh, my God. Did you see Donald Leeper's message in chat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just saw it as you were reading it.
That makes me want to roster him more. I don't know why Donald wants to roster him less. Anyway, let's talk about the rest of Toronto then. Like, do you have an actual preference here? To me, it's just clearly Siakam and Van Vliet. Van Vliet now down to 8,500 is comical.
Yeah, agreed. Like, he's playing so many minutes, regardless, one way or the other. I really like getting to Van Vliet. I think Siakam looks good. I hate that he's only center eligible. It makes it really difficult to prioritize him. I typically get to a good amount of Barnes and Anunoby because of the small forward eligibility, but I think Van Vliet's the number one guy here. And if
Trent's center eligible, they're playing two different centers 30 minutes a game.
Right. If Trent is ruled out, then I think you also just go right back to Boucher and you go right back to Achiuwa.
Yeah. If Trent is in, can you go to Boucher or Achiuwa? I mean, Achiuwa seems a little bit more reasonable just because he's 4,600.
Like, you can still – they still have upside in tournaments because we don't know for sure what the rotation is. You know, kind of like I said before, if they do just say, oh, no, we're playing these seven guys, then you're still getting, like, 28 to 30 minutes probably from Boucher and Achiuwa. So you could get there, but I wouldn't feel great about it, especially on an 11-game slate. Yeah. You're just going to be able to find guys that are still relatively low-owned and look a little bit better. But if Trent's out, I mean, we've seen this rotation for a while now.
Yeah, if Trent is in, to me, it just becomes really hard to play what I think is the seventh best play on Toronto in Chris Boucher in this one, because I just don't trust it at a $6,200 price tag. All righty. Boucher getting power forward and Siakam not getting power forward. These sites are just ridiculous. I went on a rant today on the Process show about FanDuel not putting the positions in the correct order. So, like, Chris Boucher is center slash power forward.
Achiuwa
is power forward slash center. It makes my brain like lock up when I try looking at the positions, because I'm just so used to seeing them in I don't want to say chronological order, because that's not what that is, but, like, you know what I mean, from small to big.
Yeah, I know what you mean. When I do the FanDuel tournament video and I am like going through boom bust and looking at positions, it always throws me off.
It just, like, I like tweak out when I see like power forward, small forward. Well, just line it up correctly, you dum-dums. Come on. A lot of people going for Boucher. Daryl Ward's about to get himself banned for 5 minutes. I assume somebody's going to go ahead and grab that one. Here it comes. Justin Wilson's recognizing it too. This Toronto team, man. Nick Nurse just – what do you here's an actual question for you. What do you think they see? Like, this is an active decision by Toronto and their entire organization that they don't think it's a problem to play these guys so many minutes. Like, do you think they're doing something differently? Do you think they're right?
What's the question?
Like, should more teams be playing like Toronto?
I mean, I guess it really just comes down to, like, it's a conditioning question, really. And, like, I don't know data on – I think there's a decent chance that playing, you know, an extra few minutes on average doesn't actually increase your risk of injury that much or wear you down that much. I think there's a decent chance that it's probably overestimated by most teams. Like, how it is, kind of like in baseball, you know, innings limits instead of pitch count. Like, it makes no sense, but teams just do it. So yeah, like I don't know. Like I don't have any data on it. I think there is a good chance that a lot of teams just overestimate like the risks to playing guys more minutes.
Like, this is one of the smartest organizations in basketball from top down. Like, they are not coming about this. This is not just like Nick Nurse willy-nilly playing guys 38 right. minutes because they feel like they don't have a choice. Like, they are making an active decision to do these sorts of things, especially when they're shorthanded and they're still running these guys out there. I'm fascinated to know what they see and how they are tracking all of their, like, clearly these guys are doing like biometric scans. Like, they have all sorts of data that we'll never know. I'm really curious. I would love to see some other teams go to this sort of rotational, whatever they're doing. Toronto is oddly fun from a fantasy perspective, just because they're easy to project.
I'm just writing a chat. Daryl came back and started saying no Boucher.
You can't negate it with more messages. Let's go to your Washington Wizards. Everybody's available. They kicked, I assume this, I don't know if he was out for sure, so I'll let you correct me. It looked like they kicked Neto out of the rotation and we're going to Kispert, and basically no one's getting ownership here outside of Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, they booted Neto.
Can roster anybody from
they booted Washington. Neto last game. They booted Avdija the game before. This is the first time Washington's been healthy all season as far as all of their rotation players, and they have way too many rotation players. I mean, they even watching the Washington Post game, they were just, you know, basically it was like you can't run an 11-man rotation. Like, that doesn't work. No. You know, Drew Gooden was going off on it. They asked Kuzma.
They're about to be the inverse of Toronto.
Right. I was actually really surprised that Kuzma gave an answer, but they asked him, like, you know, what he thought about the 11-man rotation. And I fully expected a non-answer, and he basically was just like, it sucks. Like you have to deal with you have to deal with it, but it's not great. So sooner than later, they're going to have to cut some guys from this rotation, trade somebody, do something. But right now for DFS, it's not great. I mean, you basically have Daniel Gafford now playing like 10 to 12 minutes a night. Harrell playing – like Harrell's still getting low to mid-20s, but – that's still not super appealing at center. Thomas Bryant, I think eventually maybe starts playing more, but he only played 12 minutes last game. He's at that price point at 3,400 where like whatever game he plays 20 something minutes, he's going to look really good, but he's also only center eligible. So not really a spot that I'm looking to like, not a hill I'm looking to die on. Rui, I don't think is playing enough to really matter for fantasy. Same kind of thing as Bryant. Like he's 3,300. If he suddenly plays 22 minutes, like if they decide to cut the rotation back and Denny doesn't play and Kispert doesn't play and Rui gets to like 22 minutes, he's gonna look good, but there's no real indication of that happening. So for right now, this team is basically just a dumpster fire for DFS.
I'm really curious to see what Washington does at the deadline, because they unquestionably have to unload 1, 2, 3 of these dudes. Like, if they're not going to play Neto, he's going to be a backup point guard somewhere else pretty quickly.
Well, that, and that, I mean, like a no-brainer. The thing is too, like, does Beal go?
Well, you should, but...
Right, I mean, there's the whole, you know, this isn't working out, let's just completely tear it down angle, too.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to, apparently, which, whatever.
He doesn't, but he did also kind of say that he didn't want to play in the play-in game, like he wants this team to either be a playoff team or maybe he'll leave, kind of thing.
They're in a position where they could consolidate talent. I just... don't know what they do, but I'll tell you what I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't play them today.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing anybody from Washington, like Beal's still going to get his run. He's 8,700. He can give you a big game, but at the same time, it's just so tough to get there when you could play like Fred VanVleet on the other side of this game for the same price. Kuzma, we know the upside he gives you, but there's a couple of things working against him. For one, you do have, you know, Beal back. You have a million centers now, so you have to think the rebounding is eventually going to come back to earth, and the usage is going to come back to earth a little bit. But the even bigger issue is that now Kuzma is playing like 32 minutes a game instead of 36 because they have 100 front court guys that they're trying to give minutes to. So it just makes this team really difficult.
Adam Burse wants Beal to the Mavs, just not sure what they can give up. The answer to that would be not anything. you got to really hope the Washington Wizards like Jalen Brunson. And spoiler alert, they don't need Jalen Brunson. So
I'll take Luka.
You want Porzingis?
Nah, I can keep him. That wouldn't be fair.
Beal to the Mavs would be terrible per Daryl Ward. So, Daryl, you might want to go back to your awful Boucher takes from 5 minutes ago, because Beal to the Mavs would be incredible for Luka Doncic. To think that it would be something other than that would be a real tough sell. I'm going to go ahead and get the shooter and other ball creator for the team that doesn't have those guys. Yeah. I don't think that they'd be all that mad about having Bradley Beal alongside Luka as a 1-2 punch.
They probably would prefer to get the version of Bradley Beal that is a shooter, though, and not this year's version.
For sure. Assuming Bradley Beal is your normal Bradley Beal, yeah, that is about as good of a fit as you're going to find alongside Luka Doncic. Beal to the Lakers. Sadly, no one wants Russ.
Russ back
that is not the reason Bradley Beal can't go to the Lakers. I promise you that. Russ is not the impediment there. I mean, he is, but like, it's not because no one wants Russ. The amount of value in between these two guys are staggering. Beal would be standing in the corner. This is just... How do teams think that like other teams with good players play? Like, nobody's like, oh, you can't be putting Kyrie Irving on a team with James Harden and Kevin Durant. It's like, no,
yes, they were. The best that literal conversation league was talked about for like a month straight when that team was put together.
Really?
Yeah.
That I don't remember at all.
There's one.
I just remember thinking, oh my God, no one's ever going to stop them.
Right. But the ESPN conversation was just, there's one ball and now you have Harden joining and Durant and Kyrie. And at the end of the game, who's not going to get the ball and who's going to be pissed off and it's going to cause dysfunction and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know what it'll cause? Winning. It'll cause more winning. They'll all figure it out. On to said Brooklyn Nets. They are 2.5-point favorites in San Antonio, 234 total. Monster total here. This is an all-offense game. James Harden is, to me, the best payup option today, or the best, like, reasonable price payup option. 10-5 on FanDuel. Shooting guard and small forward eligibility. That's incredible here for Harden. 11-8 just point guard on DK is still good. He's only 5% owned. I don't totally understand how that's possible. I want to have more than 5% Harden in the spot. Kyrie Irving should be playing 36 minutes. He's 8,900 on FanDuel, 9,500 on DraftKings. The guy that's getting the most ownership on Brooklyn on the DK side is Kessler Edwards, who's been playing a ton since Durant went out, 4,200. I really like all three of those guys. And on DraftKings, I think they're all getting underrepresented from a ownership perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think Edwards at 4,200 is fine. I'm not really in love with him. Like, he's going to play a lot of minutes, but he's not a great fantasy option. I think he looks fine. The ownership makes sense. I'm definitely interested in Harden and Kyrie at low ownership. I mean, they've played 21 games together now without Durant since the start of last season. And I'm pulling the numbers up now just to make sure I get them right. But off the top of my head, I think Kyrie's like 1.3 DraftKings points per minute and Harden's like 1.55 or something.
I got Harden in at 1.53, Kyrie at 1.35 for today. Both over 30% usage, massive assist rates, rebound rates, all that good stuff.
Without Durant. Oh, yep, I can't type. So but yeah, like they're gonna have their minutes staggered. They're both gonna get their looks. Kyrie 1.38 DraftKings points per minute, 33.1% usage rate, 30.1% assist percentage in those 21 games. Harden 1.52 DraftKings points per minute, 29.6% usage, 39.9% assist percentage. They both look really good. I took a really big Kyrie stand last slate, which sucked because he started really well and then every guard around him just absolutely smashed him. But I like going right back there today.
Do you prefer Kyrie or Harden here? I think it's easier to get to Kyrie on DK. On FanDuel, Harden shooting guard, small forward, 10-5. I just absolutely love that combination.
Yeah, like I'm very happy.
He should just smash.
Yeah, I'm very happy getting to Harden. It's just that you're also like on DraftKings, you're getting a $2,300 discount for a guy that averages like 0.15 fewer points per minute. And he's the same ownership.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just hard on DraftKings. 11-8 with only point guard eligibility really complicates matters. Is there anybody else here for Brooklyn? We do have Nick Claxton questionable for this one. If he is out, does that open anything up here for Aldridge or anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, if Claxton's out, I'm assuming you're getting another start for Daron Sharp. That would make him look reasonable. It would make Aldridge look pretty good. Don't read too much into the playing time last game. Sharp was in foul trouble, only played about 16 minutes. As a result, Aldridge played 32. On average, I think it's likely you get something like 20 for Sharp, and then Aldridge closes and plays 28. But it would make both of them look pretty good at their respective salaries. Wouldn't play them together. But yeah, if Claxton's out, I like both of those guys.
If Claxton's in, is Sharp even playing?
I would assume if Claxton's in, it's... If Claxton starts, I assume it's Claxton and Aldridge. If Claxton is in and not in the starting lineup, I have absolutely no idea. Like, he might just not play.
Yeah. I guess if Claxton's in, you don't care if Sharp's playing or not. He's not, like, unless he's starting, you're not playing him anyway in 11 games late, right?
Right.
So,
like, yeah, where the most difficult question is if Claxton's available, but Sharp starts, are they splitting 48 minutes between Sharp and Aldridge and Claxton is DNPing, or are they going to go like 16 to Sharp, 24 to Aldridge, 8 to Claxton, like something like that? It kind of just becomes a mess. But as long as either Claxton is out or Claxton is starting, I think Aldridge at 5,200 is interesting.
Absolutely. Claxton has been out for the past five games. Would slightly surprise me if he just dove back into any like huge minutes, but something to keep in mind. I've got nothing else for Brooklyn. Do you?
Nope.
San Antonio Spurs, basically fully healthy. Trey Jones is now finally back and off the injury report. I guess Juancho Hernan Gomez is available. They already have guys in his ilk that they don't play, so maybe they could just add him to the list. Highest owned guy in this game is Derek White, 20% owned on DraftKings at 6K. He's 7,100 on FanDuel. Keldon Johnson is about 10% owned across both sites. Who do you like the most from San Antonio?
I mean, DeJounte Murray is always the answer. But beyond him, I like Derek White at 6K. I think that's a very good price tag. I'm interested in Poeltl at 6,800, but center, you know, obviously has some issues there. But Derek White at 6K, I think, looks like a really solid option. Just should play 30 to 32 minutes. He's around a fantasy point per minute guy. I think that's a pretty favorable price tag. But if you can get to Murray, I still think 10-1 offers plenty of upside.
Oh, God. This is another team that I just hate, like, generally projecting, because it's the someone from the wing rotation is going to play like six more minutes than they normally should. And that's the guy that you needed to have. And there's no way to tell who that's going to be. Anthony Marcus, if you want to know how James Harden being small forward is correct, note that they're going to play Patty Mills and Kyrie Irving at the same time as James Harden. And I promise you that James Harden is the small forward of that trio. So that's how James Harden becomes a small forward on FanDuel, because they're playing two guards smaller than him next to him.
That's a pretty aggressive position change, though, when considering some of the other positions that they have.
Oh, I'm not saying that, like I'm surprised that they got there given how much they screwed this up, but it is absolutely correct at this moment.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. Honestly, like, he should be small forward, power forward, if anything. It's not like James Harden's out here guarding ones and twos. He gets abused by anybody like that. Oh my God. Derek White, 20% owned, is not something I expected, but DeJounte at 10-1, I think, is sort of sneaky. I don't have anything else for San Antonio, though. I mean, this is a massive game, right? 234 total. That's 7 points higher than any other game on the slate. I mean, it's well higher than just about everything else.
Yeah, I just like getting to different pieces here. White and Murray. Poeltl looks fine. Keldon Johnson looks fine. But yeah, I think White and Murray are where I get to the most.
All right, we got three games to go. I'm basically going to shut up for the rest of this one and bounce everything off of you. For Memphis, we still have no Bain, no Brooks, no Tyus Jones. Morant is 25% owned. John Conchar is 20 to 25% owned. Jaren Jackson, 17 on DK. DeAnthony Melton is 13 on FanDuel. Good luck with that, everybody. Just jam Morant and Conchar seems pretty easy at the start.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I forgot you weren't talking anymore. Yeah, I mean, Morant's still a really, really high upside option. I don't like the spot going into Denver, but you're talking about a 33% usage rate without Brooks. He played a ton of minutes last game. That was something that I certainly thought was possible going in. I didn't want to, you know, just give him 38 minutes or anything, but with Tyus Jones out, it makes sense why Morant would play more. So you're getting increased production and then also the possibility of increased playing time. Assuming Conchar stays in the starting lineup, he is still pretty inexpensive at 4,300. Makes him look pretty good. Jaren Jackson at 6,300 certainly has a ceiling. If De'Anthony Melton is low owned, I don't mind mixing him into some lineups just because he's a really good point per minute guy. The playing time is the issue. We had talked, I think I did the show with Greg that day, and we kind of just talked about how Memphis could very easily just find a way to screw De'Anthony Melton's minutes, and they only played him 17. He basically just did not play alongside Conchar, so I wouldn't play those two together today. But if he finds a way to 24 minutes one way or the other, he's going to look pretty good. He's only projected for like 3% ownership on DraftKings, so I'm not going crazy there. But I think he's a better tournament play today at 3% than he was the other day at 50-whatever percent. So somewhat interested, but I think Morant is the priority. Conchar and Jackson both look pretty good too. 4,700 Adams isn't crazy either.
Yeah. I mean, I like little bits of all these guys just because they're missing so many actual key rotation pieces. But Morant, Conchar, Jaren Jackson seem to be the guys that stand out the most. You know who stands out on Denver? Basically nobody outside of Nikola Jokic, who I actually have projected for 1.84 FanDuel points per minute today. He's about 10% owned, as is Will Barton. Do you have priorities for Denver?
Hang on, I was checking. Somebody said Melton was in foul trouble last game. Kind of.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He doesn't play.
Well, I mean, it would matter. Like, if the reason he played 17 minutes was fouls, it would matter. But, like, he subbed out after a foul in the first quarter, but it was his first foul. He picked up a second foul, didn't sub out for another minute, so wasn't really taken out for that reason. He ended up with four fouls, but I don't think that really contributed to his lack of playing time. As far as the Denver side goes, Jokic obviously is a good play always. Will Barton at 5,400 is a pretty good price tag. I don't see much else that stands out there.
De'Anthony Melton, by the way, 49% true shooting this year, shooting 32% from three and 54% at the rim. He doesn't play because he stinks. It's just weird. But yeah, just Jokic for me on Denver. You get to little bits of Gordon or Barton or Morris, like I understand it, but it's just they play so slow. It's so hard to prioritize these guys when everybody's available. And I think Bryn Forbes plays now and even complicates the like.
Yeah, he's available tonight.
Yeah. Final two games, two ass beatings. Allegedly, Detroit 13.5 point dogs in Utah, 218 total. Cade Cunningham is 28% owned on FanDuel at 5,200. Agree with it completely. Sadiq Bey is 8% owned, should be more owned at 5,600. Highest owned guy on the Pistons on the DraftKings side is 0.7% owned, Kelly Olynyk. Are you playing anyone from the Pistons on DraftKings today?
I hate this team on DraftKings. There's just like I like the idea of Kelly Olynyk at low ownership, but I don't really know where the minutes are coming from. Like they said, he wasn't on a minutes restriction last game. He closed. He played 22 minutes. He's going to be really, really good on a point per minute basis on this team, but unless they're kicking Trey Lyles or Isaiah Stewart or somebody out of the rotation, which I don't think is happening,
Might kick Lyles.
I think they might eventually, but I mean, Lyle still played almost 20 minutes last game.
Kelly Olynyk's first game back in 2.5 months or whatever. I think Lyles is just a shittier Kelly Olynyk, so I assume that he's going to get purged here.
They played a lot of minutes alongside each other too, though.
That's wild. That team must get no wonder they're 13-point dogs.
So, I mean, it's just right now I can't comfortably say I think Olynyk's playing like 28 minutes or something. So,
okay.
And the matchup obviously sucks. So outside of the Cade Cunningham FanDuel price, I don't really see anything.
Boom. Utah. No Donovan Mitchell for this one. Obviously a big talking point. No Hassan Whiteside. Rudy Gay is back. This is where all the ownership is. 20-30 on Boyan. 10 for Royce O'Neal. 15-20 on Gobert. 20-35 on Mike Conley, depending on the site. 27 for Jordan Clarkson. 30-45 on Joe Ingles, or Ingles is 3,700 on FanDuel. I think some of this is a little aggressive, but obviously everybody from Utah looks like an exceptional play.
Yeah, exactly. It all makes sense. They're all very, very good plays. Clarkson's at 1.06 DraftKings points per minute without Mitchell. Conley is at basically one. Ingles is at 3/4 of a fantasy point per minute, but he's likely to play 30 to 32 minutes, and he's cheap. It's a good matchup, obviously. Bogdanovich has a 27 to 28% usage rate without Mitchell. These guys all look good. The ownership is the issue. Like, these are very clearly a lot of the best plays on the slate, but it's also an 11-game slate, and you're getting 20 to 30% ownership going to some of these guys. $6,200 Mike Conley, good play. Plenty of guys you can find in that price range that have still the same range of outcomes as Mike Conley. Clarkson, you know, same kind of thing. So I like getting these guys, certainly in lineups where you have lower owned, you know, pieces elsewhere. They are some of the best options on the slate. In cash, you should be getting to these guys for sure. Gobert at 16%, probably my favorite play out of this group, because with Whiteside out, you do get more minutes from him as well. He should absolutely destroy this Detroit front court. You know, so I like Utah, obviously. You'd be crazy not to, but definitely pay attention to the ownership. Just, you know, make sure you have contrarian pieces elsewhere, because this is quite a bit of ownership for an 11-game slate.
Very clearly the best team to roster tonight. Not even really up for debate. Closing it out, Houston, 10.5-point dogs in Golden State. Golden State on the back-to-back. No Clay for tonight. No somebody else is where. Andre Iguodala, I believe, is also out. Yes, and then clearly still no Draymond for Houston. Everybody that's normally available is. Highest owned guy on DraftKings is 2.7% owned Kenyon Martin, KJ Martin Jr., whatever you want to call him. He's also not really that playable. You going to anything for Houston?
I like him in tournaments. I mean, 32 minutes from Christian Wood is a reasonable expectation. That's where he came in last game. We know the upside that he gives you, but I mean, the issue is that he's only like $700 or $800 less expensive than Gobert. But really high ceiling there. 4,500 for Jalen Green is fine. Kevin Porter Jr. at 6,400 is fine. Like, Kevin Porter Jr. is the kind of guy where Mike Conley is very clearly a better option in terms of like median projection chances of success, but you're getting like a 20 to 1 ownership discount from Conley to Kevin Porter Jr. I like taking some shots at Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I have Kevin Porter Jr. ceiling in his 32 minutes at 46 fantasy points. I've got Mike Conley ceiling in 32 minutes at 47.6. That 1 point should not be worth all of the ownership,
right?
Like, that's really just the easiest way to look at it. For Golden State, things didn't go well for the Bucket the last time out. Jordan Poole getting the biggest bump here, 19% owned on FanDuel. No one in double digits, though, from the DraftKings perspective. I think people are sleeping on Jordan Poole quite a bit. I'd actually like to still get to Kuminga. What are you doing with the Golden State Warriors before we get out of here?
Do we have any news on who's resting yet?
No Clay, no Draymond, no Iggy, no Wiseman. Otto Porter, probable.
Okay. Then, yeah, I like Poole as well. 5,800 looks good. Obviously, you can get the Steph, but it's difficult. Like, I'd rather go Harden, I think, just, you know, amongst those relatively expensive guards. But, yeah, Jordan Poole at 5,800 looks good. 4,900 for Kuminga is fine, but I don't think the same level of, like, priority that it was last night by any stretch.
All righty. You have GPP videos. You have injury videos, deeper dive, all that good stuff.
Yep.
Well, there it is, everybody. We are done. Thank you for joining us. Shout out to No House Advantage for being the sponsor of this video. Please hit that like button if you haven't done it yet. Got a lot of content coming out for the rest of the day. Enjoy your Friday. Win that money. I know Adam and I will be back again Monday morning for the strategy show, doing it all again. Peace.